Hello, everyone. Welcome to This Is a Totally Reprise, a true podcast. I'm Ashley. I'm joined, as always, by your friend and mine, Molly.
Hey, hi. It's me, Molly. You got Luke with us.
Hello.
Hello, Iris is here.
Hi, and I just really want to emphasize that Luke is a real stand-up guy. why don't we just leave him alone? I don't think he's guilty of any of the crimes that we are potentially accusing him with, because he's such a cool dude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm signing all of that to my partner.
How could he possibly kill and murder anyone?
Right.
Well, that would be ridiculous.
I think it was actually a team of vagrant roving podcasters who did it.
That's mm-hmm. probably true.
Yes, it's the plot of Nomads, actually.
it's really, listen, we set up the first episode. Lester's a terrible criminal. Molly's a really good cop. What can we do to stop this story from ending immediately?
Well,
Bob Odenkirk, you're in.
Yeah, just make sure there's some guy who will not allow a crime to be solved.
Right.
Which, you know, accurate to real police, at least.
Sure.
Finally.
Yeah. True. Iris, what have you been doing the last couple weeks?
So the last couple weeks, I was on vacation up in northern Minnesota in a cabin in the goddamn woods.
How was that?
It was pretty great. I did a lot of relaxing. I did a little bit of shopping, got some wonderful fruit wines from a place called Forest Edge Wineries. If you are, for some reason, ever in northern Minnesota, you know, maybe check them out. They've got some good stuff. I have no idea why you would be in northern Minnesota specifically if you are not already from Minnesota, but just throwing that out there. And then I went to Itasca State Park, and they do bike rentals there.
Oh, okay.
And they have a few electric assist bikes. And I was not super confident in my, biking stamina. So I was like, oh, all right, I'll do the electrical assist. So, if I need a bit of a break, I can turn up the level, assist level a bit more, and have a bit of a break on the hills.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And, I actually mostly kept that thing at level 2 or 3 out of 6 and biked a whole 17.5 mile loop around the park. And it was fucking great.
Nice.
And I got back home, and I'm like, oh God, I am so tired and sweaty.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then when I got back home, I was like, all right, time to buy a new computer.
I've communed with nature long enough. Now it is time for gaming.
Yeah, I touch grass. Yeah, and now
the timing on it is very funny. This has been something that has been a long time coming, because I've for the past the PC I've owned, I've had for probably 10, 11 years. I've been just. The GTX 1070, God bless his little heart, it has still managed to keep up with most games that come out, but not any longer. And also,
you've done your part, little guy.
Yeah, it's time for you to rest. Unfortunately, it happened during a time where the GPU market is still kind of fucked.
Yeah.
Where even the somewhat decent cards, they are not selling for their MSRP.
Right.
So, not a great time to do it, but I kind of had to. But I did get a pretty nice system together. I'm lucky enough to have a micro center 7 minutes away. So yeah. I just gave him the list of stuff I wanted. I'm like, here's my old hard drives. Just build the PC, put these hard drives in. Please don't install Windows 11.
Yeah, please don't do that to me.
I mean, they're getting to the point where they're kind of putting a gun to your head and being like, Windows 11 time, motherfucker.
Yeah, they are. In October, I will have to make a decision. I have had a friend be like, hey, but before that happens, you should maybe like buy another hard drive and like install. They recommended this Linux flavor called Cache OS, which is sort of a branch of like the Arc OS, which is what Steam OS uses for the Steam Deck.
I see.
So it apparently works very well for games and other like Windows programs. So I will probably end up giving that a shot just to see how I like it. I'm terrified of becoming a Linux person.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I've seen a lot of people be like, unfortunately, they have forced us into this point.
Yeah, I don't.
That's just how it goes.
I've long resisted becoming that. I've long resisted becoming a Linux nerd because of how they can be. Yeah. But I think I'm going to have to at least try.
Lord, forgive me. It's time for the new me.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it is time to get in the penguin suit, I guess. but yeah, so of course, after getting a 9070 XT graphics card, the games I am playing are an idle game and fucking a co-op game called Peak, where you climb a mountain with three other friends.
I was seeing Crystal tweeting about this, and I was looking it up.
Or more likely, you and your friends struggle valiantly before freezing to death.
you know, the camaraderie.
Which actually, during our initial run, we made it pretty far. The first area is, you know, not too bad. Fairly easy. We only had one death. Then the second area, which is like this sort of tropical jungle, the fog started rolling in and we were not prepared for it. And like everyone but me died. But it turns out I'm a fucking baller. And I just made my way up that mountain like a goddamn goat.
So
I revived everybody. I was like, what's up?
Well, great work.
I played a little bit of it before the podcast today.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Nice.
Just solo. And yeah, I had been seeing some stuff and I was like, ah, yes, friend slop.
Yes.
I do not need to worry about this.
and then we made it to the third area, which is like this sort of winter area, and we're like, oh no, there's gonna be a blizzard here, isn't it? And then like 10 seconds later a blizzard came in and we're like, no. Uh-huh. And we made it somewhat up the mountain, but we made it into a cave area where there was like rock that was so cold it hurt you.
Oh,
uh-huh.
And we somehow managed to like find a path through there. But then like as we were kind of resting on a ledge and thinking of our next move, like we all just suddenly got blasted. And like all I knew was one moment I was standing on a ledge and like half a second, like a split second later, I had been thrown into the air. And I just fell all the way down the cavern and just fucking got immediately knocked unconscious. And I was lying on the ground, slowly dying. while I could hear my friends being like, oh God, what happened? Where's Iris? Where did Iris go? And it turns out that we were resting near steam vents. And the steam vents erupted and it blasted me off the ledge.
Well, God punished
we did not finish that level. Once it by that time there were only two of us left, and those two guys tried their best. Anthony and Turtle and Ozone, God bless them. They tried their best to find a route up, but unfortunately the fog rolled in. They got stuck in a blizzard, and they were like, "All right, let's." Because there's a mechanic where you can hold out your hand, and normally It's supposed to be used for like helping people up. So like if you are already at the top of a hill. And someone is currently climbing up, you can hold out your hand to them. And once they get in within a certain distance of you, their character will automatically grab your hand and you'll pull them the rest of the way up.
Sure.
So it's sort of as a way to conserve a little stamina. They held out their hands to be like, okay, we are now holding hands and we're just going to Thelma and Louise this and then jump off the fucking cliff.
Rip.
Beautiful game.
it's done by the aggro crab people who made Another Crab's Treasure and Going Under, which I really liked.
Ah, okay. All right.
I played a little bit of Another Crab's Treasure and didn't like it very much, but, you know.
Yeah, I tried to play it and I was like, I still don't like this genre.
Yeah.
So I can't tell if it was the genre or the game.
Yeah. We had a lot of fun with it. And that's kind of all I've been doing. I will probably play a game that is actually graphically intensive next week. Oh, hey.
Don't stress about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be right back. I'm going to take my pie out of the oven.
Okay, great. Well, then, Luke, tell me what you've been doing the last couple weeks.
What have I been doing the last couple weeks? We played a bunch of Netrunner last week.
We sure did.
Yeah.
Sure did.
I can't
wait for Iris to play Crysis. I needed to make that joke while I remembered the name of the game.
I was made a fool of multiple times.
I defeated you in Netrunner combat,
and then Iris also defeated me in Netrunner combat. I feel less bad about the Iris one because that was a deck I literally slapped together while you two were playing. I was like, this seems kind of fun and stupid, I don't know. Whereas you was like, this is the deck I've been like trying to make work for like a month now. I'm like, oh, okay, well, this is your like first real game basically, and you steamrolled it, so I think I need to hang this deck up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Think it's not working. Think it's time to cut my losses.
Well, I'm sorry I made you so sad.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I wasn't actually sad. I'm just like, oh, geez, I gotta rethink what I'm doing to my life.
Yeah. Card games.
I did also participate in the APAC online Netrunner tournament, even though I'm not in Australia or any other Pacific country or East Asian country, but that's the time zone I'm awake for.
I can't believe you did that to them.
I actually double checked and made sure that was cool, and it is.
So. Okay. I was wondering.
I'm sure they're like, someone wants to play Netrunner.
That's exactly the attitude.
It's like,
thank
God.
But they're doing one for, like, they did a North American one the week before, and then they're doing a European one this week, which doesn't line up as nice with my time frame, but I might jump into it anyway, we'll see. Yeah. I played the first round of that, did great, I won 7-0, played the second round on stream, and did great, it fucking whipped, and there's video evidence of my best game of the night, so that rocks.
Hell yeah.
I almost just lost to lucky R&D runs, but, you know, my play, I think, was pretty solid.
It was good.
Yeah. And then everything went to shit immediately after that. I lost 5 rounds in a row.
Hey, you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah.
I
played against the guy who went on to win the whole thing undefeated, so, like, no shame there, whatever. I didn't beat him, but neither did anybody else, right?
Yeah.
Then the next one, somebody just had, like, an out-of-faction splash that I was, like, caught off guard by. Since when do fucking criminals have simul chips? What the fuck? Criminals just have one of each breaker, and when I kill your breaker, I get to dunk on you. What are you doing? You're doing it wrong.
Let me beat you.
Yeah, exactly. The round after that, I did the worst game that I maybe have ever played, where they had a card on the table that does 1 damage at the start of their turn, and I saw it, and I knew what it did, and I went down to zero cards and passed the turn and died.
Oh, yeah.
Look. Oh,
That's not what you want to see.
Yeah, yeah. And then at that point, I was pretty tilted, so the next game did not go great.
Yeah, that, you know, yes.
And then I technically won the last one because the other person made a similarly dumb mistake, but, you know.
Yeah, we call those wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey, it is a win is a win, you know.
Part of card games, part of the trick of it is that there is also a mental tax.
Totally. And especially by round 7 of a, you know, 6-hour long tournament, it starts to get to you.
Yep. No, yeah. Absolutely.
Been there.
Yeah. But yeah, that I came one win short of a positive win rate, and I would have felt a lot better if I had managed just one more win, but you know, what can you do?
Yeah. You go to the next tournament, you get a positive win rate at that one.
Exactly. I stay up a little too late playing in the European tournament this weekend and I fix it.
Pretty much how it goes.
But also, please take care of yourself.
Never.
There's only one way to go, and that way is forward.
That's right, baby. Except that's how I lost that one game, so maybe I need to hold on.
God.
No. Don't think about that, okay? We're trying to win here.
I kind of went forward too hard on that one. If I had let up on the throttle, I probably would have won that game.
No, we are winning. Press harder. There's a secret gear beneath the floor that they don't want to tell you about.
Exactly. Listen, exactly.
You're just close to the diamonds. Keep going.
Yeah. Well, that's how I felt, because they flooded up really bad, and I scored 6 points round one. Turn one, rather. I'm like, okay, I'm cruising. They've got to get one more agenda, and then I just win, and I didn't fucking play smart enough. I needed to, like, take the fact that I had a 6-0 advantage to, like, rest and wait for the opportunity to strike instead of just trying to close out the game super fast, you know?
Oh, yeah. That was advice you were giving me days before.
Yeah, exactly.
Just gotta lock in.
But let me think. Non-Netrunner things that I have done in the past 2 weeks. Me and Chelsea just started a new game of Blueprints so we can play it together.
Nice.
We got the basement key on day 3. We did not...
Nice.
We got in... So we drained the fountain, which I didn't know... I knew you could drain the fountain. I didn't know there was a way into the basement down there.
Yep.
But unfortunately,
think about what you're saying to Iris.
Oh, I mean, I know... I pieced together that, like, oh, okay, there is a way to drain this and then go down there. I just have not managed to accomplish it yet.
Sure. No, but you're right. I forgot.
I'm just saying, be mindful.
Yep. No, that's my bad. No, I knew you could drain the fountain. I thought it was just like, because you can, like, throw coins in the fountain. I thought it was like a piggy bank and you could just, like, go collect all the coins you've thrown in the fountain.
Kind of is.
Yeah. Okay. But
those coins stay there.
Yeah. So we got down there, but we couldn't. You can't access any of the puzzle solving from that side of the reservoir, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we had to call it a day. But for day 3, we've already gotten like 3 safes open. We got 2 outside rooms. We're doing pretty good.
That's good.
Played through the first 2 chapters of Deltarune. I have not gotten to the new stuff yet, but chapter 2 is new to me and
it's
pretty fun. I like Deltarune.
Yeah.
Good.
It's been funny watching some of my friends, like Sylvie, who was at from, like, I don't trust this Ralsei kid.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, all right. You little fucking nerds. you're okay.
The game really wants me to, like, want to smooch him, I feel like. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm into that, but, you know.
Yeah, probably. I also, replaying that, I remembered how many great Birdly jokes there are.
There's a lot of good Birdly jokes.
Birdly.
I only played the first 2 chapters, but I did watch the 3rd and some of the 4th chapter because I was doing some voice acting for Velvet's charity stream where we raised $1,200 for Trans Lifeline.
That rocks.
So yeah, that was pretty fun to be a part of. I got to voice act I got to voice act Noelle, and Fabby did Susie, so that was a lot of fun.
Sure. I did see there is, like, a kill everybody route in Chapter 2, and I guess it just doesn't end up mattering that much from what I was reading.
Yeah, from what I've kind of heard, it's like, it's, you know, we'll see when the full game is out, but...
Right.
It is less of, like, a whole alternate route than, like, genocide route is.
Yeah, it gives you, like, a different end boss, but they kind of do a thing to reset it at the end, so, like, either way, Chapter 3 can start the same way without it really mattering. Because the whole way that game is set up is just different from how Undertale works. It's much less doing the fucking, like, Spec Ops the Line thing, right? Where, like, oh, don't you feel like a piece of shit for killing people? it's yes. Much more just like, well, no, you can kill them if you want. You just miss out on some stuff, you know? Like, they will give you shit if you don't kill them. So maybe do that. But, like, kill them if you want. Whatever, man. I'm not your mom.
Toriel is.
Right. Right. But yeah, that game's pretty fun. Probably going to start Chapter 3 either tonight or tomorrow. But I think that's about it for me.
All right, Ashley, what have you been doing?
Well, yeah, so I had finished Parts 1 and 2. I'd played both parts before, but it had been so long that I was just like, you know what? And then the save file that I had on Steam didn't have anything from my first two. Like, my first two playthroughs, so I was like, well, this is one of those games where, even if it's, like, small stuff, I want to have all of that stuff done.
Yeah.
So I replayed it all, and then I was like, alright, time for chapters 3 and 4. Actually, no, because I'm getting on a plane and I'm going to Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
during a cool and normal time.
Everybody I told that you were going to be in D.C., they were like, now?
Yeah.
Now?
And I was like, yep.
Yeah, definitely have had a lot of people be like, oh, interesting choice. I'm like, we've decided on this, you know,
right?
Not yeah, that yeah, long yeah, no, ago, totally. But
yeah,
yeah.
Sometimes it just lines up that way.
Mm-hmm. But last time I was in DC was during a government shutdown, so I didn't get to go to any of the Smithsonian museums.
Oh, dang!
Which was, you know, a real shame for me, a nerd.
Right. Yeah.
And so this time, we went to a bunch of them. We went to the American History Museum, which I went to specifically to see Kermit, who was not out.
No!
Oh, damn.
I did see Fozzie Bear and Wilkins, kind of proto-Kermit.
Oh, yeah, the Wilkins coffee commercials.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where he just fucking shoots you with a gun if you don't like the coffee.
Yes.
Yes.
I love that man.
And various other murder instruments.
Would you say Iris?
I says, I love that man.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
You don't like Wilkins coffee?
How about you, motherfucker? That's basically what he says.
Pretty much.
And then we did, I think it's just called, like, the Modern Art Gallery.
Uh-huh.
But it's they keep telling us that's the only place that has a Leonardo da Vinci in the Western Hemisphere.
Hmm.
Huh.
Yeah. Like, everything else is in Europe.
I guess that would make sense, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then I saw it, I'm like, eh. It's fine.
It's all right. I mean, it's no Sistine Chapel, you know.
You know, it's a painting that is good, of course, but, like, it's not good enough that they were like, Italy was like, we want that.
Yeah, yeah.
Give it here.
It's like, you can have this one. Let's rank all of the Renaissance painters.
Yeah. I saw some of, at the American History Museum, I saw some, like, Norman Rockwell paintings. The one where the guy speaks up and goes, actually, I think.
Oh, yeah.
What Twitter post has you like this? I got to see the original Wizard of Oz red shoes, ruby slippers.
Yeah.
And then I got to be the person who goes, actually, in the books, they're supposed to be silver, but... And I was like, shut up, Ashley. And I'm like, fair enough. They recreated, like, with all of her shit, Julia Child's kitchen.
Oh, weird, okay.
Weird, but cool.
Huh.
The coolest thing that I saw at the art museum was the Joan of Arc series by Louis Monvel, which is just really incredible to see in person because the way that, like, uses gold foiling to make some stuff really pop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even in the photos, it looked really sick.
Yeah, and they're, like, pretty huge, and they, like, are on a, like, one wall that takes up, like, the entire room. So you can just, like stand on one side and just kind of really get the entire thing. It's pretty cool. I also saw the Declaration of Independence. Did want to steal it, but I couldn't.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, many cases of this.
Yeah. Generally, they do it on the night of the
gala
that.
When, it'll be on display.
Right.
Yes.
And you can swap it out with a fake from the gift shop.
Yes. And then pay for that. Pay for the...
Right.
You should also probably get a team together.
Should. Yeah, yeah. I really only need, like, one other guy. And, like, maybe, like, a woman who works there who you have kind of a fling with.
Yeah.
But she's not, like, part of the team, but she becomes part of the team.
Exactly. Yeah.
They, like, kept telling us, like, listen, the Declaration of Independence was, like, kept in real shitty conditions for the majority of its, like, life before we were like, oh, we should probably take care of this.
Yeah.
God.
So it's, like, extremely hard to read. It doesn't really look that great. But then the Constitution preserved, like, immaculate.
Uh-huh.
It's all history stuff. I was very intrigued by a lot of things.
The stupid thing that, like, and I'm sure I could just look this up. It would be very easy, actually. Probably Wikipedia could tell me. But, like, Declaration's a letter, isn't it? Did we not mail it, or what? Shouldn't Britain have it?
Well, it was more like a...
We were just having fun on paper.
I think everybody just kind of got together and said, we're signing this thing.
Right.
And then that's our declaration of war.
Sure. Okay.
And then, the other guy probably heard about it.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Maybe they made a copy. Word.
Right, yeah, Xerox declaration.
Yep.
Xerox was like 20 guys who just went around making extra, just rewriting everything they saw.
We went to the Spy Museum, which I'd been to before, because that's not government owned.
Oh, yeah. I went there like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
they have like a new location, so it's all done up new. I had a lot of fun with that, but it is very much like you have to go in knowing, like, it's a very American-centric.
Yeah,
sure.
It's like that comic where it's like, our glorious soldiers there.
Yeah,
right.
Barbaric warriors.
Our noble CIA versus.
Yes. Their horrific KGB.
Yeah.
Right.
Because, like, there's, like, a whole section on traitors, and it's, like, here are the two guys who turned tail on, the American government and joined, the Soviet Union, and how despicable they are.
Their names were Adam and Eva, and then they assisted us with Operation Snake Eater.
Yes. I did salute the guy who changed sides because he was a true blue communist.
Hell yeah.
I did not salute the guy who said it. Well, he was just in it for the money.
Sure.
Yeah.
I understand what's going on there, but like...
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not booing him either. I'm just kind of like, yeah, man, whatever.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes you about as guy, about as bad as every other guy I've ever known. So,
right.
Maybe not a good thing. I don't know.
And then, like, right next to that, it's like, and here's, like, you know, the two of the greatest heroes of, you know, the Cold War, two Soviet spies who turned on, you know, the KGB and became American.
Right.
Right, of course.
And then we watched, has anyone else here seen the movie No Way Out?
No, it's Kevin Costner, right?
I don't recognize that
name. It's Kevin Costner, it's Gene Hackman.
I only know it from a random Family Guy bit that for some reason I remember 20 years later.
Really?
All right.
There's
or
some
Chris
of those.
Griffin, something happens and I don't even remember what. He goes, I haven't been this confused since the ending of No Way Out.
Ending of No Way Out is fucking insane.
He says that and then it cuts to him walking out of the theater and what he's confused about is how Kevin Costner keeps getting work.
Oh, okay.
That's the joke.
That's the joke. It's okay joke.
Yeah.
No, but the ending of No Way Out is... I was like, wait, what? No! But, you know, it's spy shit. There's an evil homosexual. The 80s loved an evil homosexual.
They sure did.
I still do.
I also rewatched Hundreds of Beavers with my family and our friend that we were staying with.
Oh, hell yeah.
And... no one but my dad, who was also high as hell, was really feeling it.
Oh, no.
And, you know, when you're in a room, and it, like, it's a comedy.
Yeah.
With a lot of jokes, and no one else is feeling it.
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah. Awkward vibe.
It's a pretty awkward vibe.
Oh, similar, no. Like, you pull up a YouTube video to show somebody, and they don't care, and you're like, oh, God, I've committed a terrible moral sin.
I've done that before. It's the worst feeling.
I did show somebody at work the other day the video that we always talk about when we're talking about the blueprints with the, like, combat. That is the fake game thing that guy is commentating. And I don't I don't know if the guy at work liked it, but I thought it was funny again, so it was worth it.
Yeah.
Like, plus that, I watched it again. So.
Oh my god, he knows the counter melody.
He knows the counter melody.
Oh, he's got the lunchbox. That's just a hard counter. Yeah. Okay. GG.
It also, yeah, like, doesn't help that it was a, you know, it's a basically silent movie. So,
yeah.
Right.
Can
right.
Really there's... hear the crickets.
You don't need any sound because you got a theater full of laughs, right?
Yeah. And, like, the person was like, so you watch this, like, with an audience.
Oh,
and
no.
And everyone was loving it. And I'm like, yeah. He was like,
oh no!
That movie is such just like a baseline like people pleaser. It's hard for me to imagine not at least kind of liking it. It's like, just dumb slapstick humor. Like it's the most fundamental kind of entertainment.
Like my dad was like, it was too long, and I'm like, I can agree with that.
I think it's a little long. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I had a great time throughout, but, like, I 100% get that. It was just... I was just like, ugh! Anyway, enough complaining about that. I also saw a Dimitri Martin comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
I was like... It was fun. I was like... When I heard they were going to it, I'm like, he's still doing comedy?
I had not heard anybody say Dimitri Martin in a decade plus, and then you posted about it, and I was like, why do I know that guy? And then you posted a chart, and I was like, I remember why I know that guy! It's because he does the damn charts!
He does a lot of charts. He still does the charts.
Yeah.
I, like, checked up, and he had, like, his last, like, comedy album was from 2012, so literally a decade.
Oh, okay, yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah, or more than, but he's, like, apparently working out new stuff. It was, like, a very kind of, like, improv-heavy, like, you know, throwing stuff at the wall and seeing what hits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which could be, like, a little weird sometimes because he's trying out stuff that definitely doesn't work.
Sure.
And, you know, it's not like watching, like, a Jerry Springer or, like, a... not Jerry Springer, Jerry Seinfeld or, like, a... Chappelle, where you're like, ooh, this is...
Right, no, it's just kind of that joke didn't land. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, like, it's all, like, one-sentence joke, so it's more just like...
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And then just him going over to a little pad and crossing something out. But, it was a great show. It was quick, which is becoming more and more of a high commodity in my later years.
Yes.
And then I watched the AEW show from Mexico, and that was fucking awesome.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I heard good things.
And then I also got sick, but Oh no.
Oh no.
I'm feeling better now. I had to, like, I spent like one day on vacation, like kind of in bed. And then I threw up a lot this morning. I'm feeling pretty good right now, so I'd hope so. Hopefully I'm kind of over that hill.
Yeah.
And then also, I played like an hour of Cash Cleaner Simulator because I was like, I like cleaning games.
Sure.
Let me try out this one.
Wait, is this like a money laundering game?
Yeah, I was gonna say, is it money laundering? Okay.
Yeah, it is. It is. You're getting bags of money that are real fucked up for various situations.
Uh huh.
And you have to like sort it, clean it, and then ship it back out. But there's a weird vibe in that game.
Wait, okay, no, I all right. I need it clarified. Are we literally cleaning bills, or are you running a money laundering operation to make criminal money into legitimate money?
You're literally washing money.
Okay, that's because everything you're saying is slang for the crime of money laundering. So
I that's the bit.
right, but I'm just trying to understand.
It's like literally like someone would come to you with a suitcase from Fargo.
Right.
It's like a lot of blood on this.
Right. Okay.
But like you wake up and you're like, you wake up in this weird warehouse where all your shit is, and you instantly starts getting texts from this lady who starts calling herself Mommy.
Okay.
All right.
And she's like, oh, don't worry about it, sweetheart.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, all right, I guess I didn't know that this was fetish game also, but okay.
Sure.
I'll just do my silly little task. I'm going to play more of it, so I'll report back if it continues to be weird.
Uh-huh.
It sounds like it's probably going to continue to be weird.
Yeah, probably.
If I was going to guess.
Yeah. But that is it for me in an action-packed week. Molly?
What the fuck did I do? I don't even know. I have played more fighting games. I don't really have anything new to report on that front. I think I'm done playing Fantasy Life because I haven't opened it in a week. That's about when I know I'm done.
Yep.
Have played some more like Blueprints and stuff. There's some more stuff going on in there, but I think that one is also, I'm also entering the transition phase away from Blueprints.
I've seen spoilers about like the post game that have me like, wait a second, do I need to hold on?
That's such a stupid sentence to say.
It is. Listen, when you get there, we can talk. Okay.
Yeah.
I need Let's somebody else to be there. I can't talk about it until somebody else is there. And that's going to be a while, so maybe one day I'll go back.
We have to go back
to the evil house. I fucking hate Herbert. I hate that motherfucker. You could, yeah, just message me later. We can talk about the shit that's going on there.
From what I know, he seems chill, but maybe I don't know everything.
I hate his stupid house, okay?
Oh, sure. That's fair.
I hate him and his stupid house and his stupid puzzles.
I never drafted the morning room before, and we just got that when me and Chelsea were playing before I got on here. And getting the newspaper that was like, oh, his nephew has inherited the mansion, but there's some sort of undisclosed contractual obligation he has to fulfill first. We don't know what it is, but given what we know about Herbert Sinclair, it's probably some stupid puzzle bullshit.
You know what? It is. It is some stupid puzzle bullshit. Yeah.
I'm just mad that once you get into room 46, I still have to wake up in the fucking tent outside every day.
Yeah, what the fuck is that shit?
It's my house now, motherfucker. I should wake up in the master bedroom.
Well, you're not done with all the mysteries.
I completed my contractual obligation.
Yeah, and the house is yours. I don't know. Ask Simon why he's still sleeping outside.
Right, yeah. I'm just imagining you live in that house. You do sleep in the bedroom. You wake up in the morning. You go to the door out to, like, the hall or whatever, and, like... Oh, there's a gem requirement on the first door of the day. Well, skipping today. See y'all tomorrow.
Yeah, well, see y'all tomorrow. Good luck.
I am picturing that it's like Castaway, where like when he gets a bed, he doesn't know how to like. It doesn't feel comfortable anymore.
Right.
Sure. Yeah.
By the time you've claimed the house.
Yeah.
I've also made it through a lot of Lies of P. I'm definitely in like the back quarter of that game now. Apparently you access the DLC from chapter 5 of New Game Plus. So I gotta get in there a little bit more to do that. Which should be fine. It should be fine. I am making my way through it with a good pace, so I'm not too stressed about that. I started and finished The Forgotten City today.
Pretty fun little game.
We'll talk about that more for Journal Updated when Journal Updated happens. And then that's kind of... I think that's it. What else have I been doing? I've been playing a lot of Magic the Gathering Arena.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Doing that Final Fantasy set?
Yeah, I was just doing some Final Fantasy drafts, because while they may be more expensive in real life, they cost the same amount of regular Magic the Gathering Arena funny money. So
yeah, I was considering doing the same thing.
I was just truly galled to find out they're charging more for the Final Fantasy set than normal.
Oh, yeah.
They sure are. It is frequently cannot find commander decks for less than $100.
That's
normally they are 60.
But that's now, to be fair, that is also just kind of how the scalping situation works.
Yeah, sure. Secondhand market stock is always fucked. That's one thing.
But normally,
what's the MSRP on the commander deck?
I don't think they're $100 MSRP, but I don't know.
No, they're not. But also normally there's not a scalping issue for the commander decks.
Right.
That's not true.
I mean, I guess for none of the ones I've encountered, like
for the ones that you want, that is. But this has been a problem going back to when I first started playing the game, and they first started making commander decks. That's the it has been a long-standing problem.
This is the first time, assuming this isn't some secondary seller
through them or something. Walmart says $75 for a commander deck.
Oh, okay,
that sounds about average.
Yeah,
MSRP is $70. So. Okay. According to Google. Thank you, Google. So I've just been playing a lot of that. I do think that all of the grievances, all of the very valid grievances about the financials aside, playing it on digital and paying the regular digital price for it, that's a pretty fun set. They did some really neat little mechanical designs for translating things from the Final Fantasy games into a card game. The Final Fantasy 16 cards, loathe be it, I praise Final Fantasy 16, but the design where they switch back and forth between being the regular human guy and being the summon is pretty slick.
Yeah, those are like also the only good saga creatures.
Yes. But yeah, I've been having a good time with that. I don't know. I think I might be about done with it just because, you know, there's only so many different kinds of decks you can draft. And
sure.
I'm not like grinding for rank on Magic the Gathering Arena anytime soon. So I'm good. So next week, if I haven't gotten into the DLC of Lies of P, it's not happening probably. So
sure.
We'll see how that's going.
Yeah. While looking up information on the price, I got a Reddit post. Should I buy the $100 Titus FFX Commander deck? And I'm just jumping in. I guess the question is it a good idea to invest $100 for a Titus counter-based Commander deck? I heard this one has a higher win rate than the rest and has a turn 3 win.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a lot of what things are happening in.
They're a new player looking to get into the game because of the Final Fantasy stuff.
And I want to be able to win good. Okay, I heard this one wins more than the other ones.
Yeah, I hate it because that's the deck I want because it's the FF10 one.
Yeah.
But but they're all right. being bought up by people who give a shit about, like, fucking power scaling and Commander.
Yeah. Yeah, which are the most insane people on the planet.
Yeah, I hate them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Commander plays, don't at me. I don't want to talk to you. Yeah, that's, I think that's about it. I was doing some gaming, and, you know, just getting other work things done, because that's my other job, is work. A Fargo?
Did you say your other job is work?
Yeah, because my first job is this and Eidolon, but right. my other job is work. Fargo!
Season 1, episode 2, The Rooster Prince.
I looked up what The Rooster Prince is.
Yeah, it is a, like, Jewish parable about a prince that declares he's a rooster one day, strips naked, will only eat, like, chicken feed, just hangs out under the table, and just acts like a rooster. And the, you know, the king and queen get a wise man to come help him, and the wise man's solution is to declare he is also a chicken and strip naked and hang out with him, and gain the rooster boy's trust, and slowly be like, hey, you know, it's roosters are allowed to wear clothes, actually. Roosters are allowed to sit at the table, actually. And slowly just convince him that actually roosters behave the same way that people do, and so he's cured, but not really. But yes, he is. Basically, what? It's a story about people, you know, trying to understand personas in a time before we had that okay. language.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It's hard to figure out, you know, if you don't know the deal.
Right, right. I don't know who the Rooster Prince in Fargo is supposed to be.
Like, I thought, like, because I read it as I was watching the episode, and I'm like, oh, is, like, because Martin Freeman's character is with
right.
his brother. I was like, is he going to, like, bond with the son?
Right, right, but no.
I continue to think that this is a tenuous...
I think the episode titles largely feel like they are trying to say, look how clever we are, and then you think about it like, wait, is that clever? I'm not sure it is, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That does bring up an interesting question, though, of like, who did have the first fursona? And what do you think it was?
Well, I mean, like, one of the first, like, pieces of art that wasn't, like, just a human.
Right.
Like, you know, like, someone, like...
Yeah.
The first piece of art that was something that was imagined was, like, a lion man. Okay. So, like,
all right. Yeah, so, yeah, all right. Yeah. So, the lion furries got it. All right. Yeah. Well, at least documented.
Yeah, we don't know. There might have been other fursonas that have been lost to history.
Right.
Yeah.
Almost certainly.
I think people have enjoyed animals and imagining them in lots of different fantastical scenarios since there's been people to imagine things.
Yeah, there could have been a person with a woolly mammoth fursona while woolly mammoths right. were still there.
Mr. Toad is a fursona when you think about it.
You know? I guess you're not wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not wrong. Mr. Frog and Mr. Toad, a classic fursona couple.
This is so true.
We open on some banging jazz drums.
Hell yeah.
That much is true.
Yeah. You know that these are cool bad guys because they play sick drum solos every time they drive anywhere.
Right.
These guys are named Mr. Wrench and Mr. Numbers. Mr. Wrench is the guy who is deaf, and Mr. Numbers is the other guy.
Okay. Okay.
And they go to the Hess Trucking Company to talk to his crime lawyer guy about, you know, get information about what happened to him.
Yeah. You know, so we skipped a week in between because I was on vacation.
Totally.
And it very, the episode was like, well, we'll put a bunch of, like, flashback and, like, recap stuff for you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of episode twos of TV shows are like, listen, maybe you missed the first episode, but you heard good things. Let's just kind of reset and kind of, in a lot of ways, feel like a lot of treading water if you did watch the first episode. And yes. This is one of those. But yeah, these guys, like, ask him about, you know, what happened with Hess. There's like kind of, you know, doing, I guess, a bit where he's having to constantly translate back and forth from sign language for Mr. Wrench. I looked up the translation because it's not what he's saying it is on basically any of the sentences.
Oh, yeah, no, I was like, kind of figured no way.
That's what the bit was, yeah.
Yeah. He's like, there's a point where he's like, tell that guy his tie looks stupid. And that's when he's like, he thinks every town should have a library. and then when they start, like, arguing really fiercely, it's Mr. Wrench trying to ask, like, wait, okay, so was Sam on top or was the sex worker on top when he got killed? And these are, why would that matter? It could be an important clue. You don't know. Ask him.
Sure.
Yeah. But basically, he just tells him, hey, there's sort of like a Tommy Lee Jones looking guy here the day before, and that probably is the guy who did it. And they're like, Tommy Lee Jones, you say? I think you meant, the other guy with three names, because that guy's not in this show.
I was gonna say, I don't think it really looked like him.
I think you meant Billy Bob Thornton. He's like, oh yeah, no, you're right, I get those mixed up sometimes.
Yeah, that guy.
And then they just start, I was wondering, like, how accurate the signing was.
It's real sign language, but yeah, okay. They are kind of having their own conversation that this guy's not privy to. And, like, now and then, it's he is translating it, right? But, yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least giving him the gist of what they're saying.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're just like, yeah, no, we're going to find him. We're going to fucking kill him. Don't worry. Lester's at Awake for his wife. The one pellet that he got shot with is not looking good.
No.
Looking kind of gross under that bandage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Probably not good.
No. Yeah. It's definitely infected.
Yeah. He's not doing a very good job of being bereft.
No.
He really does. No. He seems minorly disappointed that his wife is murdered.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he might suck at this. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he maybe isn't a very good criminal.
Kind of seems like he sucks at a lot of things.
He's not built for this.
Right. Doesn't seem built for particularly anything.
Yeah. One wonders what he is built for.
Right. But yeah, his brother kind of comes and is like, hey, you should come move in with us while you, you know, get things settled. You shouldn't be alone in that house. He's like, oh, yeah, sure, I guess.
Yeah, okay, well...
He's like, why wouldn't I want to be... Like, oh, right, because the murders, right?
Yeah. He goes home. The cops left a really bad mess in here.
Yeah, they sure did.
They just left, like, coffee cups all over the floor and, like, the little booties just on the floor.
Yeah.
They really, really did not bother cleaning up after themselves.
No, not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit.
Which also makes you wonder, like, who... Were they gonna send it? I guess they probably weren't gonna send anybody out then, I guess? I don't... That... Man.
Yeah.
I guess I believe it, but, like, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this kind of thing... You know what? I'm realizing I probably think this because I've seen this show before, but I think they just kind of give you... Here's a phone number for a cleaning service.
It's fucked up.
Yeah. Meanwhile, there's a different wake happening in another part of town for the sheriff. Frankly, his wife is also, you know, she's also not really openly grieving, but that's because she's a tough Midwestern lady who, you know, doesn't have time for that kind of thing.
Right, yeah.
She's just gonna tell a, story about a guy who got killed by a hailstone.
Right, yeah, yeah, just shit happens, and then you die. You know?
Yeah, that happens in the movie 2024, or not 2024, the fucking disaster movie about the Mayans here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happens to, like, a cop in Tokyo. He just gets beamed by a hailstone.
Yeah.
Oh.
And dies. And we were watching it in science class because it was the end of the year.
Sure.
And I laughed so hard and no one else did. And everyone looked at me.
Great. Perfect.
It's objectively really funny. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
Because it's not like gruesome or anything. It's just like it just looks like a golf ball fell out of the sky and this guy goes, whoop.
Yeah. And, you know, Molly's also talking about, like, a time her dad got shot, which I don't think we knew from the first episode that her dad used to be a cop, did we?
No.
Yeah. No, not at all. He used to be the sheriff.
Yeah. The little fun preview for season two, it takes place in the 70s, and it's about her dad.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah. I think season two is better, so. But anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a big improvement over season one.
I think I've heard that from other people as well.
Yeah. Bob Odenkirk is the sheriff now, and he's like, hey, I think some kind of drug dealer broke into Lester's house and killed his wife, probably. So let's figure out what's going on there. He's like,
he's real bad at this.
Right. And Molly's just like, wait, but no, I had evidence that like he was involved in the Sam Hess murder. He's like, what? No, that's stupid. You're stupid.
Yeah. Lester doesn't like blood. He couldn't have killed his wife.
Yeah.
No shot.
Molly, listen, we got like 10 episodes we gotta fill up. If you go solve it right now, what are we gonna do for the other 8?
It really feels like that, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Feels a little
it
bit
does.
Like that.
The only sure part like of that. This guy's argument that is at all strong is like, this guy's temperament is not made for this, which like, yeah, no, it's not, but
is
you know.
True, but right, like he is so like constitutionally against questioning Lester. Because he thinks it's just like, you know, that's rude. He just had his wife die, but like, yeah, you put Molly alone in a room with Lester for like 30 minutes and this whole season's over.
Yeah, because like, he cracks so easily under pressure.
Yeah.
We see him in this episode basically almost like give it up.
Right. And like, obviously, you know, part of it I do think it's a little fillery, but also, you know, that is what they're doing, right? It's continuing the whole fucking misogyny thing that they're kind of beating you over the head with this whole season.
Yeah.
They're like, woman has figured it out, but institutional sexism prevents her from fixing it.
Right.
I definitely was watching this episode like, alright, I see the motions we are going through.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, last episode I was talking about like how, like, oh shit, like all this stuff, like, I thought was gonna, like, you know, happen over the course of the season, like, happen in the first ep.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, they maybe should,
Right, yeah. This maybe should have been paced.
It's very, like, it's that fucking meme where, like, when the, Las Vegas cops throw away the proof that Dougie Jones is actually Dale Cooper, I'm the lady going, aw, you're so sweet. When this show won't let Molly solve the crime, I'm like, hello, human resources?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Lester's just kind of going through it at home. I don't know if he's trying to make himself cry over his wife, or he's having a weird episode where he's just, like, burying his face in her clothes, and, like, he's sobbing, but he's not crying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I do think that he does feel some element of sadness about this.
Yeah.
But also, I think that he has, like, just been broken so thoroughly.
Right. It feels like he's trying to make... He's like, I should be crying over this. I need to make myself cry over this. Let me go give a good sniff of her.
Yeah.
But he gets interrupted by the cops coming to question him. And Bob Odenkirk doing his best to stop Molly from ending the season.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
Let's talk about Hubba Bubba for a while.
Can I talk about gum?
Remember that?
You remember that grape flavored gum we had when we were kids? What was that called?
That grape flavored gum you like is coming back in style.
Yeah, because like Molly keeps trying to ask like substantive questions, and what's Bob Odenkirk's real name in this show? I don't remember.
It's Bob.
Bob.
It's not Bob. Fuck,
it's Bob
God
now.
Damn it.
it's like Larry or something.
It's Bill.
All right, no, it's not even close.
I mean, it's very nearly Bob.
Yeah, it's close.
No, I said Larry, so...
Yeah. I'm just saying, you know, Bob, Bill is spiritually a Bob.
Right.
Yeah. And listen, I also, like, understand being like, hey, this guy's wife just died. He was also, like, in... He found the body, in, like, his story, he found the body and then, like, had a severe traumatic injury.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get, like, being like, hey, give it some time.
I think you could make that case less stupidly than Bill makes it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, part of it is, like, oh, man, Bill's so fucking stupid.
Right. Well, like, to be a little bit fair, we know what happened, so we know Molly's dead on the money, but, like, Bill's theory is less ridiculous sounding than, you know, Lester randomly ran into the devil who tempted him into wife murder, you know?
I guess that's true.
Yeah. It's just like he says, like, it's a big series of coincidences.
Right. Right. The coincidences add up enough that, like, yeah, you would chase it down. But, like, I think without the benefit of knowing exactly what happened, it's a little less stupid that Bill is so resistant to the idea there's something going on here.
Yes. And, again, this is maybe me thinking of something is common because I see it on cop shows.
Right.
But it's like, even when there's nothing, like, I know that in, like, a drama or a mystery, like, that the, you know, spouse had nothing to do with it. Like, the first thing they do is, like, hey, we're just going to ask you a lot of uncomfortable questions and then be done with this.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Columbo, you know, does, like, you ask it all the time.
Yes, exactly. Like, you know, like, were you cheating on someone? Were you, like, you know, like...
Yeah.
And so, yeah, no, it's, I wouldn't say I was, like, frustrated, I was more just kind of bored.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable reaction to have, yeah, Bill basically just, yeah, shuts everything down, he's like, alright, I'm satisfied, Lester didn't do it, let's go, let's stop bothering him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grape drink, grape gum.
Yep. And then Lester's like, boy, I just keep thinking, who could have done something like this? And it smash cuts to Malvo in Duluth.
Right.
Who's just decided to give a hard time to a mailman for no reason.
He's like, I think I'm gonna do the Anton Chigurh scene in the shop, but instead I'll be doing it to this mailman.
Right. And also I'm gonna get a little bit silly with it.
It doesn't,
just a little bit.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same menace because at no point did I think this mailman's life was in danger, really.
No, I think at most Malvo would have beat the shit out of him.
Yeah.
I think that's what they want you to think about, though.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because he just comes in and says, like, hey, I need to get my mail. Okay, what's your name? What do you need my name for? To find your mail? No, you don't. Just give me a package addressed to Duluth. We're in Duluth. They're all addressed to Duluth. What the fuck are you talking about?
Right.
But sure enough, there's one unlabeled one that just says Duluth on it.
Yeah, also the Chigurh convenient, you know, gas station one. It, like, more makes sense why, like, that conversation could escalate in that way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, he just going, like, you don't need my name to just get my mail. It's like, no!
That's basically how, yeah, I do need your name, actually.
It's pretty much how the mail works.
I need to see your ID so I make sure I'm giving the mail to the right guy. Am I going to have to come back there and get it myself?
The gas station one is just like, oh, you, like, you know, a guy doing, like, the normal small talk and then him being like, you don't actually care.
Yeah. And then the mailman's like, oh, well, this is all highly irregular. And he goes, no, highly irregular is when I found a human foot in my toaster oven. This is just odd. And I'm like, okay, Invader Zim, whatever you say.
Yeah, that's what I was like, they're getting too cute.
Yeah. Nice. Uh-huh.
not much good Malvo content in this episode.
No. When I, like, had when so got, much before.
There will be more, but not so much right now.
Like, when he... It was also cute, but I think if they had just done the, like, he sees his fake ID and sees that he's a priest.
Yeah.
And then he, like, goes, like, have a blessed day.
Right, and, like, crosses, like, himself.
Yeah, it's like, alright, that's, you know, the fun Malvo we know.
Yeah, that part's fun.
But no, yeah, this is...
Yeah. Yeah, the envelope has a book called American Phoenix, the story of Stavros Milos, the, like, supermarket king of Minnesota.
That's right, don't forget.
And it's also got, yeah, his fake ID for, like, his identity while he's working as a hitman here, I guess. Stavros has gotten a blackmail letter for, like, $40,000 that he wants Malvo to, like, hunt down whoever sent it and kill him.
And he's like, why is he blackmailing you? He's like, you don't need to know that. I'm like, well, I'm asking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's like, it's probably my wife because I hate her and she hates me.
Yeah. They do some really clever framing in this scene because, you see, Stavros is the supermarket king, and he's got a big poster that says king with a crown on it that's right above his head in the frame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Don't forget
one
it.
Perfect one perfect shot. Uh-huh.
Fuck.
I thought you were going to mention the fact that it's the butcher in the background this entire scene.
Yeah, also, I do like that there's a window into the butcher room on the other side of his office.
From his, like super nice, like, fancy office.
Really? But he can just watch, you know, yeah, cow pieces getting cut up anytime he wants.
Really interesting decision.
No.
Do
you think Isaac is a two-way mirror? Do you guys think only he can see into the butcher's?
I think that's probably true. Room? Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, otherwise.
Right. It must be, because he's probably doing crimes in here. He seems like that kind
of
guy.
Yeah. A lot of crimes in here.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen stuff like that where, like, they'll have, you know, a one-way mirror on their office so they can see, like, you know, if people are slacking off or people are stealing or something.
Yeah.
Having it just to the butcher's makes me almost feel like, oh, like there was some other crimes going on in the butcher's, you know, table.
Right. Yeah.
Because Stavros also has, like, a bodyguard who is just, like, a mob enforcer, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was, like, a football player, right?
That's a hockey player.
Hockey player, all right.
Yeah. And he also just is, like, a Rottweiler just chilling in the back the whole scene.
He's also got a shitty little son, and by little son, I mean a full-grown man.
He does have a large adult son that everybody hates.
Yeah.
Probably my best, my fave Billy Bob Thornton bit is when he tries to do a joke back.
Yeah.
And the guy just doesn't get it.
Right, because the son's deal is that he just really likes shitty, like, dad joke-ass puns. But, like, What is like ninja's favorite drink? Karate. Karate. Do you get it? And Malvo gives Stavros
now,
a look like he despises this man and he despises Stavros for having sired him.
Yes. Aren't you proud of my shitty little joke?
Right.
Don't you love
he, like,
me now?
Bursts in to tell it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, can you sign this book that I got?
Yeah.
And say, like, to the man who found my blackmailer.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm just kidding. You're the writer. You put whatever you want in there. Meanwhile, they're still real slow walking this Colin Hanks stuff.
No,
going low and slow on it.
Because he's at, like, a briefing where they're hearing about what happened in Bemidji. And he's like, yeah, so some kind of fucked up murderer did a bunch of fucked up murders in Bemidji, so be on the lookout. And then he just looks at, like, hey, wait a second. Billy Bob Thornton was from Bemidji. Aw, dang it. Aw, shucks.
I'm going to be so pissed off when Mr. Hanks gets married to the other cop in the other town because they work together to catch this guy, and he already has a kid, so she doesn't need to have a kid for him, and then he's going to retire from the police force because she's the better cop, and then we're going to have this end like regular Fargo.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Oh, God.
It's going to piss me off.
Oh, no.
Oh,
oh no.
Oh, no.
Sorry, I had this vision while I was watching this episode, so I have to share it with you all. Right.
Molly, yeah. Writing TV is really hard. I don't think you can just guess things like that.
Writing TV is easy, and it's even easier when you're just copying someone else's homework, man.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but it's going to happen, and we're going to be mad about it, okay?
Sure, no, I hear you. He also, like, you know, the animal control guy's off duty. It's clear that Gus, the Colin Hanks character, is, like, the,
low on the pole of...
Yeah, no one at the cops like him, because he's a wuss. So anyway, you go do animal control for the day. And it's a scene of him, like, trying to catch a dog that got loose. It's just, like, a cute, like border collie or something. And they're playing it, like, oh, what a pathetic, sad time that, like, he's supposed to be a cop and he's stuck doing this. I'm like, this motherfucker got paid a day's wage to play with a dog. He's living the high life.
I think I just don't understand. I mean, obviously, I don't understand the mentality of, like, fucking Blue Lives Matter people. But, like, this, I think, is one of the starkest contrasts for me, where I'm supposed to consider being put on, like, the animal control duty to be some sort of indignity. But I'm like, I don't know, that seems like if I'm a cop, that seems like, yeah, no, I will do this every day. This seems
this
like the ideal situation for me.
This is objectively a better public good than being a traffic cop, which is what he does normally.
Yeah, like this seems like the ideal job for me to have were I to be forced to be a cop.
Right.
I mean, of course it's the ideal job for cops. They can shoot so many dogs this way.
Oh, God.
I've decided I will not be taking off the. I'll be taking the gloves off this entire season.
Yeah, by all means,
leave them off. Okay, man.
What's really funny about this copaganda is that it implies, like, if he were a real cop, you'd be getting assigned to, like, doing cool action stuff. When we know in reality that, like, cops hate doing cool action stuff.
Well, yeah.
Like, yeah. They
what
hate
cops
action.
Love doing is being paid overtime to, like, stand guard at a parade where nothing happens.
They hate actually doing anything dangerous.
Right.
To play Candy Crush on their phones while they wait for, like, 13-year-olds to jump a turnstile.
Yeah.
Right.
Cop shows are so funny.
He plays with a dog for a while, and it's so sad and pathetic that he plays with a dog, and then he goes home to his daughter, who just is hyper-fixating on having a CB radio, which, good for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for her.
Fair.
Yeah, this is, like, 2006, way too late for CB radio.
I think you'll find that it's late enough that it's cool to have a CB radio.
I'll have you know, I have coworkers who are currently getting into CB radio.
Yeah.
Now it's cool. 2006 is not.
That's how you know she's in it for the love of the game.
She could be on AOL Instant Messenger with her friends, and instead, her and apparently her friend are on AOL are on CB radio.
She looks exactly like the kid from Stranger Things.
She does look a lot like the kid from Stranger Things. Yeah,
the one who goes missing.
Right, right.
Anyway, he's then, like, you know, gives her some, like, you know, fast food, and looks out across the way at this apartment block, and there's a lady undressed, and they just kind of stare at each other and nab a...
What the fuck is this scene?
Yeah, what the fuck is going on?
He
here?
Sees that his neighbor across the street is undressing, and he's like, oh, I shouldn't look. And he kind of, like, darts his eyes back over, and she is standing at the window, like, stripping for him.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what? None of these characters have been established before now. What is this doing?
Establishing that his neighbor across the street's a weird little freak.
I guess so.
She just is horny and needs out of this marriage that she's in with two children.
It's establishing that we're on Showtime, so we have to have some sex.
Well, yeah, because then, yeah, Gus and I think Greta's the daughter's name sit down for dinner, and, you know, their dining room's across from the neighbor's dining room, so he looks over and sees her sitting down to eat with her whole family, and she just kind of gives him a wink and a smile.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both staring at each other.
Yeah, and he's like, I don't know what to fucking do with the energy you're sending me, lady.
Yeah. To be fair, Chet Hanks is also like, I don't know what the fuck's going on in this scene.
Right, it's not like he's like, I gotta get over there and cuck that guy. He's just like, ma'am, I... Okay.
If you say so.
And
her family has the, you know... full, like, a cooked meal with the nice plates and glasses, and he's just got some takeout burgers and some paper cups.
Right.
I do. The daughter talks about, like, oh, you know, we had a, you know, class assembly about bullying.
Yeah.
And I said, like, well, what if the bully's, like, stronger than you or, like, has a knife? And then they say, like, oh, you should probably then just go get an adult or someone, who can actually do something.
And she's like, well, yeah, but what if there's no time? Like, you gotta do something right now. You should try to stop them, right? And he's like, well, no, sometimes you have to protect yourself first so you can help others. And she's like, that sounds like some real pussy shit, Dad.
Dad, are you a pussy? He's like, well, maybe hypothetically there could be a situation where a guy in a car said he would kill me if I didn't walk away.
Right.
So sometimes you just gotta walk away.
Sometimes a guy says a really scary monologue about dragons at you and it freaks you out and you gotta go home right away.
And she's like, but that wasn't even, like, the best monologue of that episode.
It really felt shoehorned in.
Yeah. I can't believe you'd be suckered by such a low-quality monologue.
Then he squirts ketchup on his thing, and I thought for sure we were going to cut to a blood pool, but no.
They absolutely shot that insert shot with the intent to cross-cut to a blood pool and decided that was too much.
It definitely feels like it, yeah.
Because instead of cross-cuts to... Yeah. French and numbers at the strip club, you know, trying to follow up about Hess.
Yeah. Listen, if you're going to be, like, you know, trite about this with, like, your king shit.
Yeah.
You know, go full force, man.
Yeah. I will say, I do like Mr. Wrench and Mr. Numbers a lot. I think these actors are fun. I like how they look. They're styled really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like how... Wrench is, like, dressed like a weird cowboy.
Yeah,
he's got, like, a jacket with just lots and lots of tassels and, like, fucking 19th century-ass mutton chops.
Yeah. They're definitely my favorite part of this episode.
Yeah. And then Numbers is just all in black with, like, a heavy winter coat and, like, a thick scarf, and he just kind of looks like a vertical rectangle.
He looks like an extremely normal man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, like, is a fun, like, offset to... Yeah. It's good. I like it. But they're like, they're interviewing the people at the strip club, and they're like, actually, there's a guy who looks kind of like Billy Bob Thornton over there.
Yeah, sort of if you squint and you haven't seen Billy Bob Thornton before. I mean, he's got the same haircut.
He's got the same haircut, though.
Inexplicably, two men have this haircut.
Yeah.
And are super into knives. Yeah,
we're flipping out that somebody else had the haircut.
If you were trying to give a description of, like, a hazy description from your memory of what you think Billy Bob Thornton looked like, in the moment you saw him 2 days ago, I can see why you mistake that guy for him.
Right, he's got the haircut, the head wound, he flashes a knife when they start, like, talking to him.
Yeah, he's got all the basics.
Yeah.
And he is enough of an asshole, they're like, well, we gotta kill this guy.
Right.
Whether he's our target or not.
I feel like it was solidified for them as soon as they saw the way he fucking caressed that knife with his two fingers. They were like, oh, this motherfucker has to go. He's too weird. he's too annoying about this.
Yeah, it just smash cuts from him threatening them with the knife to more jazz drumming as they drive him in the trunk of their car to the trucking company to see if he's the guy or not.
And they take off the tape and he's like, you motherfucker! And then Wrench just hits him real hard. He's like, now let's calm down.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, I kind of agree this episode's a little eh. I think Wrench and Numbers scenes are the one thing that kind of saves it for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But yeah, it cuts back to Billy Bob Thornton now investigating the wife of Stavros, because that's who he thinks is blackmailing him because they're getting divorced. And, he's in character now as a priest. He's like, or no, he's not. He's like, oh, I work for your lawyer, so we're trying to, like, get a sense of your husband's assets.
Yeah.
And Glenn Howerton is there.
Yeah, Dennis from Always Sunny is her personal trainer.
With the most douche bro haircut imaginable.
This could just be Dennis.
He's too nice to be Dennis is the only thing.
Well, yeah, like when Dennis is trying to be nice.
Right. Like, he's legitimately friendly. He's like, oh, let me shake your hand. And then he gets bronzer all over Billy Bob Thornton's hand because he's covered in, you know, tan stuff.
Yeah.
Well, like, with the way the episode is going, I could definitely see...
Right.
I could see that this guy did use the Dennis system.
Totally, yeah. The son comes in, and this is when Billy Bob Thornton tries to give him a dumb dad joke of what kind of bone doesn't a dog want to eat? He's like, chicken bones. He's like, what?
What the fuck?
No.
A trob bone, you fucking moron.
And then he like squats down to like hug his mom's breast. It's fucking
so And yeah, Glenn Howard and is like, they're so beautiful together. I'm like, what?
The
is
vibes
happening?
Are so right, bad. Right. They're so bad.
Yeah. It's some weird Oedipal shit that Billy Bob Thornton has no time for.
Yeah, and he's like, all right, it was fun to fuck around with those other kids.
Yeah, yeah.
This just kind of sucks.
Right. He hates all of these people so much. So he has to go on wine for a while and do his favorite hobby, which is listening to the tapes of the people whose souls he's claimed.
Yeah. This is a good bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was listening to one of these tapes in the first scene of the first episode, but we didn't really know what it was.
Oh,
yeah.
When he was
like,
driving in the car, he just headed in the tape deck.
Right.
But yeah, he recorded his phone call to Lester, or Lester's phone call to him, where he called him begging for help after killing his wife, and he's just listening to it on repeat in his hotel room.
He needs information.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't know what about, but information.
Yeah, I thought he was listening for some sort of clue to something, but...
No, I think he just likes to hear how he broke a man.
Yeah, that's the thing, is it doesn't lead to any realization, so yeah, I think you might be right.
Well, I think this is just how he chills out. This is his ASMR.
Maybe, but also it seemed like he was also listening and stopped listening when he heard that the cop came in during the phone call, right? Like, is that what happens?
Yeah, he does rewind. I thought he just rewinded it because he wanted to hear the good part again.
I just thought there was a noise in the back. Okay.
Yeah, so did I. Yeah. I agree with Molly. Yeah. I thought that's how I interpreted the scene, is that he noticed something that could maybe have been like...
Incriminating
evidence and...
Oh, maybe, yeah. But while he's doing that, in any case, he's looking at the blackmail letter and sees that there's a bronze thumbprint on the back. He's like, oh, okay, well, that's one mystery solved.
Yeah, well, that, yeah, easy peasy.
All right, Dennis from Always Sunny, he's the blackmailer, no problem. But just in case you're a little bit stupid, they flash back to Dennis. They're all
I was like, guys, I'm watching the episode now.
That just happened.
Two scenes ago, man.
Yeah. And then he gets a knock at the door, and it's Stavros' bodyguard, hockey player guy, who's like, hey, motherfucker, I'm the guy that does crime stuff for Stavros. You need to leave. And Billy Bob just sits on the toilet and takes a shit in plain view of him.
Yeah, sure, man.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But, you know, he's not intimidated by him. He's got to show off how unintimidated he is.
It's, you know, it's like gorillas that they're establishing dominance.
Right, exactly.
Sure.
we descended from gorillas.
We did. That's true.
As we all know.
Yeah.
Yep.
We all know gorillas.
I mean, it works to make the guy leave, to his credit.
Yeah,
it does work. Yeah, he does leave the door open on him, though.
Yeah.
A little rude.
Yes. There's some more of Bill saying, Molly, whatever you do, don't solve this crime.
Please, God, do not solve the crime.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay. And then Lester's like, let me go look at my murder weapon again.
Yeah. Yeah, he goes and pries open the... washer to pull the hammer out and just look. There's like some hairs stuck with blood to the tip of it.
Yeah. And he's just like staring at it, and then we don't see what he does with it. He's either putting it back or he has it with him when he moves into the other places, his brother's house or whatever. But
right.
I don't know.
Yeah, they don't say what he does with it here. I would, if it were me, I would simply wrap it in a trash bag and put it in the trash because no one's gonna look for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, garbage day comes and the evidence is gone.
Yeah.
Like, keep it in the house until garbage day, maybe, right? Don't just put it out on the curb, right? But, like...
Yeah, no.
It's pretty easy to get rid of this one.
Or at least it shouldn't be that hard. And then he finds the jar of piss. He knows about the jar of piss. Why is he so mad about the jar of piss?
Yeah, like, you were told this, my brother. Well, by your brother.
I think he must have forgotten about it, because he does open it to give it a sniff, to be like, what the fuck is this? Oh, God.
Yeah, what?
gotta confirm this piss jar.
Yeah.
Listen, I know that you have a lot going on, but I would... The world could end tomorrow, and I would remember the Jonathan Blow piss jar, so you could remember this.
Yeah.
Ah.
But yeah, he's just kind of eating dinner with his brother's family, and they're gonna go hunting or something. You know, I don't
they
think
have to like
really...
get him to compliment her cooking.
Oh right, yeah.
After
yeah,
everyone
yeah.
else is just like doing it organic, it's so rude. He's such a shitty man. I hate him.
Right, because the brother's like, "Oh, real good, hon," and the kid's like, "Yeah, real good." And then Lester says nothing. Lester, how's your dinner? Oh yeah, real good.
You fucking it. Just yeah. Just be kind.
Right. Molly, he has a concussion, hasn't he told you?
I know you hate your brother, and I know you hate that you have to stay in his house for a few days while, you know, the crime scene is cleaned up at your house and that you want to sell the place anyway, but, like, they're being really nice to you, and you're being a shithead.
Right, right.
I know that your brother was mean to you once, but, like, come on, man, he was right, though.
Yeah. Like, yeah, the brother also sucks, but, like, yeah, come on. You're below him on the pecking order,
you're
buddy.
You're being worse.
Yeah, yeah. He goes to the pharmacy to get something for his gross infected hand wound, and Molly tries to Columbo his ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he walks away before he can get his unguent.
Yeah, they start shouting out, like, sir, your unguent! I'm like, you're only using that word because they use that word in Fargo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, remember, this is Fargo.
That's one of those
guys,
things.
It's Fargo.
It's one of those things I bet where sometimes this show feels like the main purpose of an episode is to generate listicles about all the Coen brothers references you missed on tonight's
yeah.
Fargo.
Which, like, mostly right. what it does is remind me, like, damn, Fargo the movie was real fucking good.
Because I caught another one of those when they're at the Chiefs wake. Bill's talking about like how Lester couldn't have done it because. Back in Mrs. Knutson's class, he, like, you know, got sick at the sight of blood. And, like, I'm pretty sure Knutson is a name that comes up in The Big Lebowski. It's, like, it's little shit like that where, like, unless you just watch that movie or something stuck in your head in a weird way, you wouldn't catch it. But it, and it like, right. doesn't mean anything, but they keep doing it over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This, it seems like this is from the time... It almost feels like this show is from the time period where you couldn't just easily rewatch a movie.
Yeah, but it's not, though. It's from 2014.
But it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Molly tries to, you know, keep questioning him in the parking lot, and Lester's just like, no, shut up, go away. Talk to your boss. Talk to Bill. He believes me.
Yeah.
I will clearly lose if I try to talk to you, so I'm just... I have identified a weak spot here, and I'm going to exploit it for all it's worth.
And yeah, like, he eventually, like, lands on, like, hey, my wife just died, like, chill.
Yeah.
But he reacts so badly from the jump.
Yeah.
That it's, like, a blaring, like, sighing that just says, like, I did it.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, if you didn't already suspect him, you would now.
Yeah, his attempted recovery is the smartest thing he's done. But unfortunately, it happens after he does the dumbest thing possible in reaction to her showing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she goes to talk to her dad about it, and she's like, I just don't get it, Dad. Why won't Bill let me solve the crime? And her dad's like, well, honey, you're on an FX TV show and not a feature-length film, so we really gotta drag this plot out, or else we're not gonna have any TV show.
The fucking cop speeches in this episode just really fucking got to me.
Lou's speech to her about, like, you're looking into the face of, like, pure darkness with this case. I'm like, buddy, it's like, why do a couple people got murdered. Like, it's a bad scene, but, like, this is normal crime stuff. What are you fucking talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
he's doing, like, Tommy Lee Jones speech about, like, sugar. I'm like, you have seen nothing to push you to this point yet. What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. It's so, and yeah, like, he's like, oh, you know, like, the stuff I've seen, like, murderers and shit, and I'm like, yeah, this.
Right, yeah. It's like, you know, there's normal crimes, like murders, and then there's what you're looking at right now. Murders? No, fucked up evil murders.
Right. He is doing the, like, I never thought that this would happen in a small town, but, like, right, legitimately.
Right.
That, like, Fargo and, like, all of the other movies that are like this are, like, in so many ways, like, a refutation of it.
Right, we're like, no, that's everywhere. That's all this stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, again, I had mostly fun with this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think it's kind of nothing when you, like, take it as a whole.
Yeah, yeah, it is a lot of wheel spinning. And a lot of ice drill spinning as, Mr.
Like,
Wrench opens up the hole in the ice to dump that guy into.
If the cop had seen this, I'd be like, yeah, that's some fucked up shit.
Right, but he doesn't know that that's happening.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, right, the other thing with that case, Bob Odenkirk takes her off the case and says, okay, you work on the frozen guy. She's like, I think those are the same case, though. Shut
same
up,
case,
I'm leaving.
But okay.
See, that's the loophole that'll let her get back on the case.
Exactly.
You put me on the same case. I told you it was the same case, bro.
Right.
I literally told you.
Yeah. And then, yeah, it ends on, I do like this sequence again. I think the wrench and number scenes work, where they're just, like, there's, like, some gentle, just soft music with, like, spoken word lyrics going as they beat this guy into unconsciousness and drill a hole in the, like, ice on the lake and dump him into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought this was good.
I like all this.
And, like, looking at this, I'm like, you know what, that's, like, a novel thing that makes sense for the location. It is fucked up, like, for me to think about.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, it's not a good way to die, because he comes to right before they drop him in, but he's, like, tied and bound. It's like, you'll probably drown before you freeze, but either way, it's a bad way to go.
It's like, wait, no, could you knock me out again, please?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because,
yeah,
like, this guy's only crime was being, you know, kind of a shithead.
And looking like Billy Bob Thornton, which is a crime.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, again, yeah, if they knew about this crime, I'd be like, yeah, there's some real fucked up dudes you're dealing with this season on Fargo, but, like, you don't even know these guys are in town.
They're from Fargo, though.
They're from they keep me like, hey, Fargo sent us. You talk to Fargo? Like, as though Fargo is, like, a synonym for, like, the pit of evil.
Yeah.
That's where the crimes
like,
happen.
No, I've been to Fargo, which is, like, a medium-sized town.
Yeah.
It's pretty nice, actually. There's a nice coffee shop there that I really like.
I don't know. I think it might just be where all the hellspawn come from.
They treat Fargo like Twin Peaks treats Canada.
Yes! 100%!
Oh, I wish Fargo was evil Canada. That'd be so much better.
That is one of my proudest realizations about Twin Peaks. I you know, I think I said some smart stuff during that seasons, but, like, realizing that they treat Canada like most treat Mexico is the funniest thing, and I constantly think about it.
And it's so good that they keep doing it in the returns.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just can't help it.
They're smuggling Chinese designer drugs down from Canada.
From Canada. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna wrap up, but you go ahead, please.
I'm not mad watching this episode, but it's definitely not the greatest hour of TV I've watched or anything, you know?
Yeah.
This is a big step down from episode one.
I was like, that was fine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys want some questions?
Sure.
From @ArcaneCrystal, tell me about your grocery store experiences. What are the good ones, and what makes them better than others?
I weirdly get very... Grocery stores trigger my social anxiety in a really
big
way.
Yeah, I don't want to be in the grocery store.
I don't like going to them.
I'm pretty okay with grocery stores. I think the thing that triggers my anxiety for grocery stores is, I think, primarily the lighting. If it's too bright, it feels so weird to me.
Sure.
Yeah, my main issue is that I'm fat, and when I'm at the grocery store, I feel like people are looking at me buying food and thinking, oh yeah, look at that fat person buying food. And I'm like, yeah, I know, I need food to live. But unfortunately, I cannot just dispel the anxiety in my mind of people judging me for my eating habits, because many people did over many years.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, for me, it's very much like... I just constantly have the sense of, like, I'm always in somebody's way. And, like, oh, excuse me, let me get in your way. Oh, now I'm in somebody else's way. Oh, God. Oh, I'm sorry. Please.
Yeah.
It does really give us, like, the most opportunities to be in someone's way of other than anything else that we're doing.
Right, yeah. I'm sorry, I haven't made a selection quick enough for which breakfast cereal I want this week, and you also want cereal, and I'm in the way, and I gotta... Okay, I'll just move, and I'll come back after you get your cereal. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'll take a lap around the store and think about it while you pick out yours.
Right.
Or like the, like, oh, you're looking at all the cereals, but you're right in front of the one that I want, and I know it's there.
Yeah.
No, I
see, that part doesn't bug me. I'm just sneaking in front of that person and being like, yeah, I'm gonna grab this. Okay, bye.
I will do that, but I will, like, silently be like, I'm sorry the entire time I'm doing it.
I just, like, sit at the end of the aisle like a weirdo and just look at them like that lady.
If I know exactly what I want, I'll do what Molly does. But if I need to consider first, like, see what options there are, I will absolutely do the Luke thing of, like, I'm just gonna, like, look for other things I need and circle back once they're gone.
Right. Oh, but then when someone else is, like, on the same path through the grocery store as you and you keep bumping into them over
and
over again.
I'm not following you, I swear. Yeah.
I have a lot of, like, one of the weird anxiety things that I have is I always worry that people think I'm following them.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
I'm glad that this is a thing that many people feel.
Oh, yeah, this is a very common one, I feel.
I have, in my life, like, turned on streets that I don't need to go down because I'm like, well, now the person who hasn't, you know, behind, that I was behind, who probably didn't look at me.
Right.
Won't think that I'm following them. Anyway, to answer Crystal's question, Publix has good subs.
Sure.
That's, you know, basically the only thing I can think of right now.
Yeah, I don't have a strong grocery store preference, honestly.
God, I think... Yeah, I don't know. I guess when I was living in Arizona, I mostly went to Fry's.
For groceries?
Yeah, so... So in Arizona, the Krogers are called Fry's.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Because I know Fry's as the electric.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Fry's electronics is a different thing.
All right.
Is Fry's just a local Arizona brand they bought or something, and they were like, we're not going to change all the names.
Maybe? I'm not sure. I think
King Supers is another one of those.
That's the thing that always, like, I feel like confused non-Arizona people about our grocery stores. It's like we just got a bunch of Fry's all over, and they're like, wait, that's something different.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean? They're grocery stores. They've always been grocery stores, right?
From Oh Dang, What Up? Thoughts on Billy Bob Thornton? You know, we've talked about him in the last episode, I think, a bit more. With, you know, we're wondering what his best...
Yeah, I only know him from dog shit stuff, so...
Doesn't have that many good movies on his list.
Yeah, I haven't really watched a whole lot of stuff that Billy Bob has been in, is the thing.
Oh, right, he's one guy in Princess Mononoke in The American Tub, I forgot.
Oh,
yeah.
Right, okay.
I think we were like, oh yeah, Friday Night Lights, I've heard that's good.
Yeah.
That sounds like us.
Yeah, for some reason or another, and I don't know why, I've just been like, oh yeah, Billy Bob Thornton, he's been in a lot of shit, but he's, like, pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I generally have a positive association with Billy Bob Thornton, even though I don't have, like, oh, I love him in... I mean, I do kind of love him in Fargo, but that's about it, really.
Yeah, I mean, he was in Armageddon, and while I'm sure he was certainly not the worst part of that movie, I do not remember his performance.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, so like, what does that tell you?
You know...
Yeah, I guess, he's, like, what I would consider in a different era would be, like, perfectly great character actor.
Yeah.
Who, for some reason, got to be the star of several movies.
Right.
Also does a lot of voice acting.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good voice.
Yeah.
He's in, like, a band, too, isn't he?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised... Actors love to be in bands.
I think, isn't there, like, a famous interview with him where, like, he went on some talk show to talk about his band, and they introduced him as, like, you know him from the whatever movie, it's Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, yes, yes,
and they
yes.
try to keep asking him questions, and he just goes, like, well, I like to feed my fish at home, and I like to tend my garden. And what's going on, man? He's like, oh, I don't know, if you're going to talk about my band like it's a fucking hobby, I'll just talk about my fucking hobbies.
You know? Can't blame the guy.
I can blame him a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
From at Triangle Delta, what are the best and worst free samples at the grocery store?
I don't go to Costco very much at all anymore, so I can't really answer this question. I don't know anywhere that gives out free samples of anything anymore.
Yeah. Kroger sometimes has free samples of stuff. Now and then, the sushi counter will have, like, hey, have a California roll on us. It'll be like, thank you, I will.
There have been a couple times where the grocery store next to my roommate and I has had free samples, but it's like, oh, damn, they've got free samples? Like, it hardly ever happens. One of them was for like they had come out with a new flavor of their store brand, like, kettle chips. That was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's good if it's like a very much of like a snack scenario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it is like part of like a meal, I think that's a bad way.
Yeah. Like a snack or a drink of some sort. Is, I think, the ideal scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have seen stuff where it's like, you're giving me, like, a bit of a lasagna.
Right.
I think I once I think it might have been a Costco in Arizona do, like, free samples of, like, a protein bar. I'm like, I don't know. It's not really what I'm wanting right now.
Right.
And then last question from Infinite Justine. What's the closest thing you have ever used to an urgent potion poultice? An unguent, sorry.
Yeah.
What's the closest thing you've ever used to an unguent potion poultice or otherwise mysterious mixture?
Mysterious mixture, huh?
I just got some new hair cream. That's pretty mysterious.
Yeah, I
feel like the closest I got is like doing a suicide at like the KFC where you just put every fountain drink in the same cup.
That is a potion.
Yeah.
That is a potion.
Legally,
yeah.
That's a potion.
I mean, I made my own cocktail once. I just did some testing. Like, I saw what we had available and was like, okay, I know sort of like the end result of kind of what do I want to achieve, the flavor profile, what do I need to put in here to achieve the result I'm going for. I even made my own blackberry simple syrup.
Ooh.
So I guess that counts as the closest thing I've done to a potion is I made my own cocktail recipe.
Okay. I don't know if I have a good one of these besides like the various cocktails of drugs I've tried over the years to combat the chronic pain that I endure.
Yeah.
the various cures and, remedies that is involved. I have a number of mixtures.
Uh-huh.
Compounds, if you will.
Panaceas.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But that's it for questions.
All right.
Okay. All right, Iris, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at Stilts the GM on Tumblr, where I actually recently published a new post. It's been a while. But I played a bunch of demos during the Steam Next Fest, and I wrote about them. So check that out. And you can also find me on Blue Sky at Stilts, and also on Eidolon Playtest. A podcast.
A very normal show.
It's
such a normal show.
It's so normal, and we're doing normal things, and the structure is definitely also doing normal things.
I think the structure's about as normal as it's been in years.
Actually, you're kind of right about that.
Yeah, the structure is not the problem.
Yeah. We actually aren't going too crazy with it this time, like from a metatextual perspective.
Right.
Okay, Luke.
You can find me on Blue Sky at SSJ Speed Racer. You can find other shows I do on audioentry.com, primarily the aforementioned Eidolon Playtest.
All right, Ashley.
You can find me at Your Librarian on Blue Sky and Letterboxd. You can also find me at patreon.com/AshleyLeeMinor.
Give Ashley your fucking money.
Give Ashley your fucking money.
Give Ashley your fucking money.
Molly.
You can find me on Blue Sky and Tumblr at Your Friend Molly with YER. You can find me at audioentropy.com, ineedmail.com, and the secondbestgame.club. Like I said, that Forgotten City episode, when you hear this, I think it'll be out next week. I'm excited to talk about that. Weird game. Fun game.
What item did you take at the start?
I took Historian.
Okay.
Because I heard too much about having the gun, and I was like, I don't want the gun.
Yeah, I also I was gonna say, did not want the gun.
Shot, I can't believe Molly didn't take the gun.
I just... I love Nora. Hi, Nora. She just mentioned the soldier background to me every single time we talked about the game, so I was, like, weirdly compelled to not take it.
I can see that.
Yeah, you know? Because I have to be a backwards person.
Sure.
Yeah,
no, I get
also
it.
You don't want to be typecast, you know?
Yeah. Fuck, I'm a smart guy today, okay? I know about history and things. you can go to audioentropy.com, hit the donate button in the upper hand corner upper right hand corner of the website. Give us a little money for the hosting. Appreciate if you could do that. You can go to Apple Podcasts, iTunes, whatever the hell they call it. Leave us a nice little review. Say nice things about us. Only 5 stars, 5 stars, 5 stars, and that's all. Ashley, get us out of here.
Until next time. Yep.